Welcome to Talking Facts, what you need to know about family, food, finance, and fitness. This nationally recognized, award-winning podcast is hosted by the University of Kentucky Family and Consumer Sciences Extension Program. Our educators share research knowledge with individuals, families, and communities to improve quality of life.
Hello, and welcome to Talking Facts, what you need to know about family, food, finance, and fitness. I'm your host, Mindy McCulley, Extension Specialist for Instructional Support with Family and Consumer Sciences Extension at the University of Kentucky. We are housed in the Martin Gatton College of Agriculture, Food, and Environment. My guest today is Dr. Alex Elswick, Extension Specialist for Substance Use Prevention and Recovery. Welcome, Alex.
Good afternoon, Mindy.
So we are going to be talking about alcohol myths today, and we recently have busted some cannabis myths, so now let's bust those alcohol myths. So what do you have for us?
These are good ones because these might even be more pervasive myths than the cannabis myths. I think just because alcohol use is more pervasive, so it'd be interested to see if people are guilty of some of these.
Probably. I would guess that that is exactly true because we probably find that people use alcohol more frequently, and they probably start using alcohol a whole lot earlier than they do start using cannabis.
Right. To our point about the discussion of gateway drugs.
Exactly. Are we going to do this the same way we did the cannabis?
Yeah, let's go true.
Test my knowledge.
Be brave again. So alcohol myth number one, alcohol is not a drug.
I would say that is false.
Yeah. And I gave you the answer because I presented it as alcohol myth number one. Sorry for that. Yeah. Alcohol is definitely a drug. And it's really interesting when you think about it, the way that the exceptionalism around alcohol. That's what I would say. There's all this exceptionalism around alcohol. We treat alcohol very differently than we regard all these other drugs, whether it's cannabis, nicotine, or heroin, or anything else.
Right.
I'm not entirely sure why that is. I think part of it is because of its legal status. I think part of it might be because it's in liquid form and it's not a pill or a powder like most other drugs. But you know, any drug can be taken in liquid form, and methadone and lots of other drugs come in liquid form. Alcohol is certainly a drug. So it's worth saying out loud, you know, that alcohol is a drug.
Exactly. It is.
All right. Number two, true or false? Alcohol is good for your heart.
False.
Yes. Good one. So there have been, and actually continue to be, some studies which show evidence of an association between moderate drinking and a lower risk of heart disease.
Right.
And so that may actually be true. I mean, correlation isn't causation, so we don't really know what that association means. Even if that does hold water and there is something there, if you talk to any healthcare provider worth their salt, they'll tell you whatever benefits you're getting for your heart are far outweighed by all of the harms that you're doing to the rest of your body, your liver, your kidneys, your everything else. Alcohol is a poison. It's really a neurotoxin. It's a poison. One of the things that people like to say about cannabis is that it's carcinogenic.
Right.
Alcohol is carcinogenic, right? There's that weird exceptionalism, right? I mean, alcohol is very, very harmful. The scientific consensus is alcohol is pretty bad for you. And moderate drinking is specifically defined. It's not what you think is moderation. Moderate drinking is a specific definition, and it's a really low threshold. It's surprising to a lot of people. For a woman, it's a single drink. It's a single drink in a night. And so if you have more than one drink in a single sitting, that's no longer moderate drinking, you know?
Exactly.
Number three, true or false? People who have problems with alcohol drink alcohol every day.
False.
Very good. Very perceptive. That's exactly right. It's a common misconception. And part of the reason why a lot of folks will struggle to come to terms with the fact that they have an alcohol use disorder, what we would call the clinical term for alcoholism, right? And it's because many people don't drink every day. Right. And so they have the mythological, stereotypical image in their mind of the person with a problem with alcohol who just drinks, you know, first thing when they wake up until they pass out. And actually, one really common pattern of drinking for people who have alcohol use disorder is not to drink every day, but when they drink, to then lose control. Right. So like once they have the first one, then they can't stop and they binge. Definitely not
those weekend drinkers, right? Weekend warriors.
That's exactly right. No, that's exactly right. Weekend warriors is exactly that group. And so there's actually a line between like heavy drinking and binge drinking and actual alcohol use disorder. And so we've said this on these podcasts in the past, but remember that what actually characterizes having an addiction, a disorder associated with that drug, is impairment in your work or your life or whatever it is.
Right.
Okay. Number four, true or false, alcohol is as harmful as other drugs.
I would say true, that it definitely can be.
Yes, you are on it. And I think that's actually a really fair way to say it, that it can be. And the truth is that we should say the same about every drug.
Sure.
We like to sensationalize fentanyl and meth and all these other things. And they all have chemical cousins that we use every day to treat conditions. And we use them to good effect, help people, you know. I like to reinforce to people, drugs aren't bad. Drugs are neutral. It is all about how you use your drugs. When you get a headache, you probably take an ibuprofen, and that's exactly a good thing. Good for you. Yeah, so alcohol, I think, again, part of that perception comes from the fact that alcohol is legal over the age of 21. And so that gives some sort of an impression that it's almost being like endorsed by the government or provider.
Right.
But alcohol is associated with motor vehicle accidents, with falls, with drownings, with all kinds of accidental death, violence, sexual assault, lots and lots of bad things. Alcohol brings lots of harm. Yeah. Okay. Number five, true or false, people who have an alcohol use disorder don't respond to treatment.
I think that would be false too.
Very good. And I've heard this in different pockets of Kentucky more commonly, where there's just an attitude that addictions can't be treated. And that there's something hopeless when they find out that their loved one has a problem with drugs or alcohol. And one of my favorite things to say about this is substance use disorder is a good prognosis disorder. And what that means is if you have a substance use disorder, you're more likely than not to recover. Most people who have addictions eventually find their way out. And so it's not hopeless. People certainly respond to treatments. We have lots and lots of evidence-based treatments. Certainly, if you or a loved one feel that you have a problem related to alcohol, reach out for help.
And probably getting that diagnosis is the most beneficial piece of information you can have, right?
It's real, you know, when you think about what a 12-step program is, the first step in a 12-step program is really about admitting the problem.
Right.
In a lot of ways, that's what a diagnosis does for you. It's a way of stamping it and saying, okay, we can all agree this is the nature of the problem.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, last one. Okay. This one is a fun one, because I've heard this a bunch too, and I definitely believe this. True or false, because kids in Europe begin drinking at an earlier age, they drink more responsibly than American youth.
Oh, I'd say that's definitely false.
Very good. Yeah. And it's common, and I'll hear, sometimes I even hear educated people who work in the field who will say a version of this, and all you have to do is look at the data. It is true that European youth drink more and at an earlier age, but they continue to do that. So they, you know, they actually drink more and in larger amounts than the average American. Like, some people have wondered out loud what would happen if you lowered the drinking age so that young people could start to become more familiar with alcohol and become more responsible with it. And it's actually really bad practice. It might seem like a really small thing to like raise the age from 18 to 21, but it had a huge impact on reducing motor vehicle accidents and changing a lot of high-risk behavior around adolescent alcohol use. So,
because there are some people who are rule followers and they're going to do what the rules say. And if the rules say you can drink at 18, then they're going to start drinking at 18 and they might kill somebody.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah. And that there's a like law, you're kind of saying laws exist for a reason. And
yeah, exactly. They do.
Absolutely. Yeah. So those are our alcohol myths for the day.
All right. Well, thank you, Alex. This has been fun, but also enlightening, I hope, for our listeners to understand why we have some of these myths that have been perpetuated over the years. I hope that our listeners will help bust these myths if they hear them out in their daily lives.
Yeah, you can be a form of advocacy we call being a disruptor. So if you're out there in the community and you hear somebody perpetuating one of these, you can be a disruptor and you can say, hey, that's not what the data shows.
Perfect. Perfect. And then you don't have to be someone your age or my age. You can be a teenager and be a disruptor, right?
That's absolutely.
Alex, thanks for taking the time to share with me today.
Yeah. Thank you, Mindy.
If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Talking Facts, and you can find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Thank you for listening to Talking Facts. We deliver programs focusing on nutrition, health, resource management, family development, and civic engagement. If you enjoyed today's podcast, have a question or a show topic idea, leave a like and a comment on Facebook at UKFCSEXT or send us an email at UKFCSEXT@uky.edu. Visit us online at fcs.uky.edu to learn more about the University of Kentucky Family and Consumer Sciences Extension Program, or contact your local extension agent for Family and Consumer Sciences. We build strong families. We build Kentucky. It starts with us.